look in our Bibles at Mark chapter 1, verses 40 through 45. As you're able, I invite you to stand as I read the Word of God. Mark 1, verse 40. And a leper came to him, that is to Jesus, imploring him, and kneeling, said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him, and said to him, "I will, be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once. And he said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them." But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town. Goes out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter. Let's pray. Father God, we ask for your help today. As the Word of God is taught, that we might rightly discern your truth, and that we might grow in the knowledge of Jesus and in our Christian lives through this study today. In our Savior's name we pray. Please be seated. Reliable Christian tradition holds that Mark, the writer of this gospel, was a companion and helper to the Apostle Paul.
Peter.
You're right, Peter. And he wrote down this gospel, which we call the Gospel of Mark, based on the teaching and preaching of Peter. As the apostle would proclaim the life and death and the resurrection of Jesus the Messiah. So basically what Mark records here were the events and teachings of Jesus as he heard them proclaimed by Peter. So in a real sense, it could be said that this is Peter's gospel through Mark, who is the recorder and presenter to us in its written form. One of the characteristics of this particular gospel, of the four gospels, is that it is well known that it moves along very fast. And one of the most common words in this gospel is the word immediately. It is a hard-hitting gospel. It quickly relates one significant event after another in the life and ministry of Jesus Christ our Lord. It is the shortest of the four gospels, and for this reason, it's usually the one that's chosen by serious Bible memorizers as they memorize one of the gospels. The last several weeks, we've seen that this one who was announced by John the Baptist has begun his public ministry in Galilee, in the north of Israel, and his authoritative teaching and his power to deliver people from demon oppression and from various diseases brought astonishment as well as joy in the various deliverances and healings that were experienced. Even Peter's mother-in-law, who was laid low by a harsh fever, was healed by Jesus, and she immediately rose up and began to wait upon her house guests. And so news about these unusual and spectacular happenings were spreading throughout the countryside, and great crowds of people were seeking Jesus out and gathering around him to see him, to hear him, and to possibly receive benefit from his ministry. Yet Jesus was not primarily a miracle worker, although he did work many miracles of healing and deliverance. His first and primary responsibility was to preach the good news of the arrival of the King of the Kingdom of God in his own person, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the arrival of the Redeemer of God's people. He preached and he taught, and often accompanying his preaching and teaching there were healings and people being delivered from demon oppression. People's broken lives were put back together. And the mighty hand of the living, almighty God, the creator of the heavens and earth, were clearly at work in the life and ministry of Jesus. Those who had been enslaved to sin and sickness, to the captivity of the devil, were set free by the power and the love of Jesus Christ. He had come to proclaim and to build the kingdom of God under his rulership as the king. Today we come to another miracle of Jesus, another mighty act of his, which in Scripture is carefully called not a healing, but a cleansing. The next great work of Christ that we just read about is his cleansing of a leper. Interestingly, the Scriptures use the word cleansing when it speaks of Jesus healing a leper. Perhaps it's because leprosy is such a devastating disease that it destroys a person's limbs, their appendages. Eventually, it works on their internal organs, and it destroys not only a person's body, but because it is contagious, it banishes the person to an existence totally separated from all other people, except living possibly with lepers like himself. It is such a deep-seated and all-encompassing destroyer of the human body and human relationships that it can be said that a person needs not just healing from the disease, but a total cleansing, a washing away of it, both internally and externally from his person. Well, let's look at our text once again. Verse 40. The first thing we see here is the leper's desperate condition. This leper was suffering in his body. It had wounded his heart, separated him from those he loved. He was probably a wreck of a human being, possibly nearly a walking dead man. Leprosy is a disease that attacks and kills the nerves in the body, something similar to what polio does. But what happens in a person with leprosy, and what really happens, the physiological things going on in the body were really discovered just in the last century, is that the person loses feeling because their nerves are dead, like in their fingers, toes, and so when they injure themselves, they're not aware of it until it's too late. So they see the blood on their hands or on their feet, or see broken skin, or see a burn place on their hand. They never felt the fire. So over time, the toes, the fingers often become nubs. They're worn down by accidental abuse, and infection sometimes sets into the wounds. A person's earlobes and nose begin to be eaten away, begin to deteriorate. There's often a stench that comes from the sores and the wounds. And the person gradually becomes worse and worse. They may have to walk, if they can walk, with a cane or a crutch. Walking on the stubs of what used to be their feet. Leprosy was well known in the ancient world. They still exist in our world. The technical name for it is Hansen's disease, named after a Norwegian doctor that discovered it. It was a germ, a bacillus. But modern medicine has been developed so that in 1981, a cure was discovered by using a combination of three drugs that are administered to a person over a 6 to 12 month or longer period. But in that day, there was no cure, unless Almighty God cured the person. A person would waste away in a leper colony with other fellow sufferers until the disease finally took his life. Such was the man that came up to Jesus Christ that day. Other symptoms of leprosy are sudden skin infections or lesions. Before the lesions appear, the person experiences numbness in their body. They lose sensation of temperature. They cannot tell when something's hot or when something's cold. They lose sensation of a light touch. They lose the sensation of pain. And then they lose the sensation of deep pressure. The losses are especially prominent in their hands and in their feet. They lose their eyebrows, their eyelashes. They develop pain in their eyes, sometimes blindness, and the larynx or the voice box may develop hoarseness. The nose can become deformed and legs become swollen. Their hands can become deformed. Ulcers can develop, especially on their feet. Well, we don't know how many of these active symptoms were at work in this particular leper, but he probably had at least some of them. Now, in ancient Israel, when a person had a skin disease, he would go to a priest to be diagnosed. The priest in those days functioned pretty much like dermatologists do today. And if the priest, upon examination of the infected area of the skin, determined that it was indeed leprosy, as we read this morning, the hair would be white over this sore. Well, the priest, if he determined it really was leprosy, he would declare the person unclean, and he would have to follow certain rules concerning his place in society and his contact with other people. We read this morning that the leprous person who's been declared a leper by the priest had to tear his clothes so that people could see the deformities in his body. He had to let his hair hang loose. When he came in contact with people out on the road, he had to cover his lips and shout, "Unclean, unclean," so that people could avoid him. Later, the rabbis developed a certain distance that the leper had to stay away from people, depending on whether they were downwind or upwind from people. And he had to remain unclean, officially unclean, as long as he had disease. He had to live alone. He had to live outside the camp, outside the town. And so this was something of the kind of life that this man had been experiencing. We don't know for how long, probably several years. We do know that he was desperate. He'd heard the reports of Jesus' ministry, of his healing power. Perhaps he talked with somebody who had been healed. And he believed what he heard. He was convinced that Jesus of Nazareth could heal him. Perhaps he thought, maybe this prophet from Nazareth can heal me also. Hope arose in his breast, and he stumbled down the road to find Jesus. I must find him. He heard from others where Jesus and his disciples were located. And so, hobbling and stumbling down the road, perhaps leaning on a staff, he went off to find Jesus. Finally, he saw a crowd up ahead. People were walking past him. Some probably were even carrying their sick ones on their back or on makeshift stretchers. So he came to the crowd who were listening to Jesus. And as he approached the crowd, perhaps he did follow the law and shouted, "Unclean, unclean." And when people saw that, they immediately backed off, let him through. Didn't want to touch him. So he came through the crowd. Someone perhaps shouted, "Don't touch him and don't let him touch you. Give him plenty of room." And so he hobbled up to Jesus. What he did in coming up to Jesus and close to these people, he was disobeying the law of God. He was disobeying the instruction of the priest. He was nearly touching people. He was coming in contact with people in the outside world. He was too close to them. And this was forbidden by the law. Yet the leper did not care about these rules. His body was deteriorating. He was getting weaker and sicker as the weeks went by. But Jesus had the power to cleanse him. He must get to Jesus. He must get to Jesus at all costs. This was his only hope. This was his last hope. It was Jesus or death. He must struggle and push forward. And yet, when he hobbled up close to Jesus, he was surprised because Jesus did not react in horror. He was not aghast. He did not step back, afraid of the leper, as everyone else was doing. Instead, Jesus looked at him with kindness in his eyes. And the scripture says in verse 40, the leper came to him, imploring him. There's urgency, earnest urgency in his cry. He was begging Jesus. This was his last hope. And it says, he was kneeling. He fell down before Jesus on his knee. I believe another gospel account of this says he fell on his face. So he was imploring Jesus. He was begging him. And it's very possible that this was a posture of worship. But somehow he understood that this was Messiah, the Son of God. And so he says to Jesus, "If you will, you can make me clean." Well, the man understood that Jesus had divine power to cleanse him. He said, "If you will, you can do it. You can make me clean." And so what he's doing, he's asking Jesus for mercy. He doesn't deserve anything. He has nothing to give. He's totally dependent on the will of the Lord Jesus Christ. "Jesus, if you will, you can make me clean." Well, the sovereign Jesus looked upon the man. And we see the next thing in this passage is not only the leper's desperate condition, but secondly, we see Jesus' tender compassion. Verse 41 says, "Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand." He was moved with compassion. Same word that's used describing the parable of the Good Samaritan. The Samaritan saw the man who had been beat up on the side of the road. All the priests had passed by and ignored him. But the man from Samaria, the scripture says he was moved with compassion when he saw the suffering man. And he picked him up and treated him and took him to an inn and cared for him. Jesus Christ came to reveal more clearly the nature and the character of Yahweh God. What do the scriptures reveal about the nature of God? The scriptures reveal that Yahweh is a compassionate God. You remember when Moses asked to see the glory of God? And the Lord in Exodus 32:6 passed before him and proclaimed his name, Yahweh, Yahweh, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands. Here's the kind of God who was the God of Moses, the God of the Old Testament, the Father of our Lord Jesus. Jesus was one with the Father. He had the compassion of God, his Father. Now you remember we read today from 2 Kings about how Naaman, the Syrian, was healed of his leprosy by dipping in the Jordan River 7 times. And Jesus said, God chose to heal this Gentile when there's many lepers in Israel who have not been healed. So, you see, it's up to God's sovereign mercy who he wants to heal. But God's nature is compassionate. Psalm 78 says, their heart, that is the people of Israel, was not steadfast toward him, nor were they faithful to his covenant. Yet he, being compassionate, atoned for their iniquity and did not destroy them. He remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passes and comes not again. So although God's people had rejected him, had committed spiritual adultery and going after pagan gods, God was yet compassionate and understood their weakness and their sins. Psalm 103:13 says, as a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. Isaiah 55:7, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Yahweh, the Creator God, the covenant God of the Old Testament, was a compassionate God as revealed in the scriptures. Jesus was compassionate. In Matthew 13, we read that the crowds were following him. And when he went ashore from a boat, there was a great crowd of people gathered, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Another time, Jesus saw a funeral procession going by. A woman and her son had died. It says, when the Lord saw her, when Jesus saw her, he had compassion on her. He was the only son of his mother. And he said to her, do not weep. He came up and touched the bier and said, young man, I say to you, arise. And he was healed. He was raised from the dead. So here is the Lord Jesus Christ, one with the Father, the compassionate Yahweh. He says, he was moved with pity. He stretched out his hand and he touched the man. He clasped him. He grabbed his arm. It was perhaps the first touch of a person who was not a leper that he'd felt in years. Finally, he experienced human touch. Jesus touched him. And he said to him, I am willing, be clean. And so Jesus looked upon the man, looked upon him with pity, with compassion, and he touched him and he cleansed him of his sins. Verse 42 says, immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. Something like Naaman that we read about in the Old Testament. He was immediately healed and his skin was like a child's skin. This man was healed. All of his deformities disappeared. All of the wounds, the bleeding sores in his body were healed. The bad smell was gone. He could walk normally. It was amazing. One of the worst diseases to infect a human being had been healed by the power and compassion of Jesus Christ. Verse 43 says, and Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away and gave him some orders. So what we see next is not only the desperate condition of the leper and Jesus' tender compassion, but we see Jesus' lawful instruction to the man. He said to him, he sternly charged him. Now this word sternly charged him is based on a word which literally means to snort, like a horse snorts. It means to have a strong feeling within. It means to be angry, to scold, to warn him. He sternly charged him. He gave him an order to do something. And he sent him away at once. This word sent away has the meaning of casting out. Same word that is used when Jesus threw out the mourners from Jairus' house as they wept around the deathbed of his daughter. Or the same word that Mark uses when Jesus throws the money changers out of the temple. He sends him away at once. And he gives him an order. Verse 44. He says, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest. So, he's telling him, in essence, you need to follow the instructions of Leviticus 13 and 14. You need to do what the law says you should do. You've got to go to the priest, have him examine you, and declare that you are clean. And it was a long, involved process. It took about 3 weeks or so to go through all these steps to certify that the man was clean. But he didn't do that. He says, go show yourself to the priest. Now we don't know for sure whether that was a local priest or a priest in Jerusalem. But he had to follow the established procedure in the law. Offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded. Remember we read about the two birds. One was killed. One was allowed to fly off, two lambs, a ewe, a male and two ewes. These animals were offered in this process of cleansing. As proof, as testimony, as evidence to them. What is it? It's proof to the priests that this man had truly been totally and completely healed by the power and compassion of Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus was following the law to a T. And he wanted, among other things, for the priests to know that this man was totally and completely healed by Jesus himself. Also, there was probably other reasons, because some think that when a person was certified, cleansed by the priest, he got even a written document that he could show to people to certify that he was officially declared clean and can be accepted into their home, shake hands with them with no fear, and so forth. Part of the reason that this incident is here, that Jesus is urging him to follow the law, is because of later disputes in the Gospel of Mark, where he's accused by various scribes of not following the law. Well, we see Jesus' instruction of him to Jesus following the law here. And the last thing we see here is the lepers' excited proclamation. Jesus told him what to do. Did he listen to Jesus? No. Verse 45. But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town. The word used here, he went to spread the news, is a word that one scholar found was used 11 times in the first four chapters of Mark's Gospel, and it refers to the Christian message. And so what is meant here is that the man was proclaiming the cure not simply as an isolated event, but proof of the Messiahship of Jesus. He was declaring the message of salvation and deliverance in his own life. Well, the result was Jesus couldn't enter a town. He had to stay out in the desolate places, but people were still coming to him. So there were reasons, we believe, why Jesus wanted him to go to the priests and go through the proper procedure. But he didn't do that. Jesus did not want himself to be known as a miracle worker alone. He did not want to stir up the ire, the anger, the jealousy of the Jewish leadership. And yet, this kind of action by this disobedient man would lead to jealousy and reaction of the Jewish leadership. Well, what we see here, we see a man who was in a desperate condition, and we see Jesus who was moved with compassion. We see Jesus obeying the law, and we see the man excitedly proclaiming his healing. Jesus' touch was compassionate, and it was powerful. Jesus reveals the true nature of God, for he was God in the flesh. His compassion toward this man reveals the heart of God. There's an old hymn that states it like this: in every pang or pain that rends or tears the heart, the man of sorrows had a part. He sympathizes with our grief, and to the sufferer sends relief. Jesus certainly sent relief to this suffering man. Our God is a compassionate God. He's moved with the feelings of our infirmities, our weaknesses. And so we have confidence to bring to Him all the desperate conditions of our own lives. What kind of attitude should we approach God with when we have a desperate situation? We must go to Him. We must go to Jesus. We must not let anything hinder us. This man let nothing hinder him. It took perhaps every ounce of strength he had, but he had to get to Jesus Christ, and his efforts were not unrewarded, but he was healed. We come to Jesus. We need to plead for his mercy. We deserve nothing, and we need his mercy. We must come like this man did in submissive worship, acknowledging Jesus' lordship and Jesus' worthiness. We need to come to him in hope that his mercy and compassion will be extended to us. Here we see a good example of the fact that our Lord obeyed the law of God perfectly. He was no lawbreaker, but he was a law fulfiller and a law keeper. He fulfilled the law perfectly so that we who are not able to obey God's law because of our sin can have his law keeping applied to our account, his perfect righteousness and obedience applied to our account. The leper was healed, but he didn't obey Jesus' command to go to the priest. He disobeyed. But we need to obey all God's commands and not disregard them as the leper did. So there's an example of what not to do, what he did. Another thing that I want to bring out is that most of the commentators believe that this healing, this cleansing of this leper is a picture of you and I. We're lepers spiritually. Corrupt, defiled because of our sin. Without hope and in need of spiritual cleansing from the inside out. Bishop J.C. Ryle in England many years ago said, "Do we not have leprosy among ourselves?" Yes, indeed. We do. There's a foul soul disease which is ingrained in our very nature and cleaves. It clings to our bones and marrow with deadly force. It's the plague of sin. Like leprosy, it's a deep-seated disease infecting every part of our nature. Our heart, our will, our conscience, our understanding, our memory, our affections. Like leprosy, it makes us loathsome, despicable, abominable, unfit for the company of God, and unqualified for the glory of heaven. Like leprosy, in the days of old, it's incurable by any earthly physician, and it's slowly and surely dragging us down to the second death. And worst of all, far worse than leprosy, it is a disease from which no mortal man or woman is exempt. We are all in God's sight as an unclean thing. So there's a picture here of the spiritual disease that all of us have called sin. And so, to be cleansed of our sin, we must do what this leper did. We must go to the only one who can cleanse us and forgive us. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Come before Him as our only hope. Fall down before Him. Plead with Him for mercy and receive from His compassionate hand the grace and forgiveness that we all need. Thanks be to God for the Lord Jesus Christ, who can heal the disease of leprosy and who can and does heal the sin of our lives. Let us pray. Gracious God, thank You for the tender compassion of our Lord in seeing this suffering, hopeless man. You healed him and restored him to full health. We thank You also that the sin of our lives, for which there's no cure, can be removed and cleansed by the gracious love and mercy and power of the Lord Jesus Christ, because of His redemption on Calvary's cross, His resurrection from the dead. Thank You for His love, His compassion, and cleansing us of our sin. In His name we pray.
Amen. Amen.